I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show. My colleague, Michael Yan, is in Panama, in Darien Province, the southernmost province of Panama, along the Colombia border. However, at the end of the Panama Highway, where Michael is right now, near a hacienda called Tenosi, a hotel, the highway ends, and there's 60 miles, roughly, of rough terrain, jungle, before you reach Colombia's side of the Panama Highway. The refugees coming north, the migrants coming north, must traverse this jungle. Michael's been inside now, talking to the Ambara people, who are an ancient people indigenous to Colombia and Panama. However, we're learning that the migrants who come through here are find food and sustenance and shelter somewhat with the Ambara people for a price. What I want to learn, Michael, is where are the migrants coming from? Who did you meet? What nationalities?
Oh, that was very interesting today. They were from all over the place. I mean, there were many from various African countries. I sat down and talked with one guy from Senegal, very friendly guy, giant guy. He'd just gotten through, and I mean, he'd literally just gotten through like 30 minutes ago. And I sat down with him, I asked him if I could look at his feet. His feet looked good. I said, "You're very strong." He said, "Yes, but it was very difficult." You know, and he actually could speak some English. Actually, quite a lot of the Africans can speak English well. Most of them cannot, but quite a lot can. For instance, one lady with an infant came in today, and she could speak English quite well. Yeah, sorry, that's the Pan Am Highway.
Where was she from? Where was the woman with the infant?
She told me where she was from. I'm sorry, John. It's been a long
dehydration
day.
Yes, I understand.
Day,
Africa. So. All right. Let's talk about the Senegalese. Why did he say he was in Panama having watched the Darien Gap? What is his plan? Where is he going?
He said to United States, he didn't exactly know where he's going to go, but United States is on his mind. And we talked for about 10 or 15 minutes. He basically told the same story that a lot of people tell. It was very dangerous. He got robbed.
Right.
People had rifles. Women got raped.
Where's
but
he coming?
Then I met the most.
He's coming from Senegal. Did he give you his route? How from Senegal
yes.
He winds up in Panama? What countries did he go through?
Yes. He went through Brazil. And I asked, did you take a boat? Did you take an airplane or what? He took an airplane and went to Brazil. He went to Ecuador, Colombia, and then I met him right at that store where they have the Western Union that charges 20%. So that right when you walk out of the Darien Gap, you come straight to the store.
Well, it's a franchise is a friendly thing to find. Now, Michael, what I need to understand is he traveled all this way with money. I take it he'd saved up money. Does he have friends in the United States? Does he have other Senegalese he's traveling with, or is he by himself?
I didn't talk with him long enough to really dive down into that. I did talk with some others longer. For instance, there was one lady, I believe, what was she, 65? She's on my video with her hand looked to be broken. I mean, she had a bandage on it. She said, she's like, it looked about 65, and I think that's what she said. I'll have to look at my video. And she had just literally was just walking out of the gap when I talked with her, and she was from Cuba, and she was a white woman. Actually, a lot of the Cubans are white, some are black, so it's the normal mix from Cuba, and a lot of Haitians coming through. But the most interesting one that I've met so far, out of all of the migrants that I've met, whether it's up in Texas or New Mexico or Mexico, was today, and it was a guy from Ecuador, and his name was Rody Sanchez, according to him. And he said, when he was sitting down on one of those boats that the Embera people make out of a tree, they take a tree and make a just long boat. He was sitting on one of them, and he looked very interesting. And I walked up with him, and his eyes kind of lit up. And I said, "Did you just make it out of the gap?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "Ecuador." I said, "Ecuador. Why are you coming here? Americans go to Ecuador to live, you know?" I think he thought that I was asking because he's black, and there's not many blacks in Ecuador, right? There are some. I think it's about a million. And we talked for a long time, and he said the reason that he's coming through is just for adventure. So with my translator sitting there with me. The translator is an Imbara man. Well, it's the Francisco, actually, the mayor. And so he was very surprised. And he said, yes, I'm going to walk to 100 countries. My father has walked to 35 countries. He said, from here, I'm going to, you know, make it my way up to Mexico. I might not be able to get into America, but if I can, I'm going to sneak into America. I'm going to walk around America, and then I'm going to go to another country. He doesn't even plan to immigrate. He's just literally doing it for adventure. And so that's the most interesting migrant I've met so far. The rest of them are on a do or die mission to get to the United States.
Let's talk about other parts of the world, because the AFP interviewed a man from Palestine. You met a Nepalese, I believe, when you were on the Colombia side of the Darien Gap. Was he a Sikh, as I recall? In any event, we know Haitians, we know Cubans, we heard about the Congolese. Did you meet any Iraqis, any Indians, any Chinese? Did you see anyone from East Asia?
I have not seen any Chinese myself that I could immediately recognize as Chinese. If I did, I would walk right up to them. I met 7 or 8 Nepalese. It was kind of hard to get a count. They were moving around. That was about March 3rd, I think.
Right.
And that was in Colombia side. And then I did meet a Sikh man up in the jungle on the Darien side, in the Darien Gap on the Colombia side. I was walking up a hill and I saw him up the hill and I said, Sikh man. You know, he was from India. He's from Punjab.
Have you met any Palestinians? Has anybody talked about Palestinians? Because the AFP interviewed one who had English.
I have not. However, just today I was talking with Red Cross people because they're staying at my same hotel. Right when I came in, I talked with them for only 15 minutes, and they said they do see Palestinians. That just came up in the course of our brief conversation. But quite a few people have said they have seen. I mean, people from the Middle East are actually quite common. So, yeah, they for instance, Iranians, that sort of thing, they all come through.
Iraqis, Pakistanis, yes. Now, Michael, you met one of the officers of the Border Patrol who said that there were 7,000 coming through in the last 3 months. Have you heard anybody give you a higher number or a lower number than that flowing through the Darien Gap?
I was just thinking about that quite a lot today. I'm starting to think that that is a low ball number because, for instance, the UN people in Bajo Chiquita today, the small village where they come out, where the migrants come out, you know, to the Imbara village. The UN person there told me they had 231 today at just that place, right? And they don't all come out there. That's where most come out, but there's a lot that come out. So that's just today. 200, I said, is this normal? Do you have more or less? And, you know, how many per month? And they were kind of cagey with the numbers, but I talked with other villagers. And I think the 7,000 estimate for the last 3 months by the center front officer, I think is a low ball number. It just doesn't add up with what I'm physically seeing. What people are telling me.
Michael Yan is in Panama. We will speak to him again in 24 hours is my hope. If we can keep him out of the jungle, he'll be in Panama City is my hope. And we can also summarize what we've learned so far about the great migration flowing north through Central America to the Mexican border. Michael Yan, war correspondent. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.
There's nothing like sinking into luxury. At WashableSofas.com, you'll find the Anabe sofa, which combines ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. And get this, it's the only sofa that's fully machine washable from top to bottom, starting at only $699. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit WashableSofas.com to upgrade your home. Right now, you can shop up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.